getting into a part of the series. We're getting into the part of the series where the Lord wants, or the Father really wants to really put an exclamation point on Christ and really open our eyes and create and generate a reliance upon Christ for salvation. We've learned so much about being at his gate, going daily, waiting at the post of his doors and waiting for the transition or the transfer of temperaments. And we've learned a lot about what the Lord has called authentic faith. And so now he wants to really, really pull us all the way in. And he wants all of our efforts to be totally annihilated. He doesn't want anything of ourselves when we're going to, when we're looking for these levels of salvation, we're looking for these levels of success. He wants to completely take us out of the equation and put Christ and only Christ in the equation. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So we're going to look at this definition of faith on this side of things. We've dealt with a lot of different definitions, but we haven't really come into where we talk about faith as being persuasion and a reliance upon Christ for salvation. I think these two parts of definitions go well together because we need to be persuaded that Christ is the answer for everything that we're looking for him to do. And so he wants to really open our eyes to it and bring us into a place where we really understand that it really has nothing to do with us. And we've talked about this over the years and where it really, we really, only thing we do is really get in the way. We get in the way, we stop progress, we frustrate grace. And the Lord really wants to really, I'm telling you now, he really wants to put the exclamation point on, the icing on the cake, if you will, to where we come into full reliance upon Christ for salvation. And so today's title is Blessed is the Man That Heareth Me. That comes out of Proverbs chapter 8, 34. This is part A of the verse. It says, blessed is the man that heareth me. I didn't write the whole verse down because God wants us to focus on blessed is the man that heareth me. So again, in this part of the series, the Father is imparting faith concerning the Lord Jesus. He's going to open our eyes fully to his power and his authority. He will be generating a reliance. And I say that again, he's going to generate a reliance in us so that our faith will be consistently directed toward him and not ourselves. In short, he's going to make sure that we are fully persuaded that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So he's going to really open up our eyes now. And in today's message, we get to hear about really the type of authority and the type of power that the Father has entrusted into Jesus. And we get to see what takes place on when we allow him to do what he's been ordained to do. And so we're going to jump right in. I'm going to take you over to the book of John, chapter 13. We'll pick up at verse number 4 and we'll read through 8. And in this part of the message, it's a subtitled, if he doesn't do it, it won't be done. If he doesn't do it, it will not be done. If you can hear me, just say amen so I know you're with me.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. In John 13, verses 4 through 8, it says, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And I bolded that out because that's the important side of this thing. And this thing really blew up in my spirit. It really, really did. And it really, man, did it ever take flight? It was more than a gentle reminder. It was a serious wind that came and lifted me up here. And it really brought me into the right perspective. We've been learning about getting to the post of his doors and allowing his temperament to be placed on us. But in between getting to the post, I feel like there's been a recess place of our enemy. It could be ourself, or it could be the enemy trying to push us a little bit too hard to try to get there. And he doesn't even want us dealing with that. We go by invitation. We go by persuasion. We go by faith in what we know is going to transpire when we get there. But there's, for some reason, there's been, for me, over the last week or so, there's been a lull, or there's been like almost where I being a little bit lethargic again. And in feeling that, I felt as though that I really needed to push. I really needed to get there. And in that, it kind of messes up the flow of things. He told Peter here, Peter said unto him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me." And when I said that stuck out, it really did, because it made me realize that if I try, in my trying, I still have no part with him. In my own effort, I'm still not connecting myself to him. He made it plain for me right here real fast. If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Amen.
Amen.
The word wash, watch this. This is why this really gets really good. The word wash, it means of those who by faith so appropriate the results of Christ's expiation as to be regarded by God as pure and sinless. See, oftentimes we try to wash ourselves, or we try to allow time, and we're going to deal with time a little bit today. We try to allow time to take its place. And then we think in time we'll feel connected to him again. But Jesus made it plain. He said, "If I wash thee not." And so what takes place is we by faith appropriate the results of Christ's expiation. And we know what faith is. We know that faith is a reliance upon Christ. So now in that reliance, what he does is he appropriates the results of expiation. That means the extinguishing of guilt. He appropriates it himself. It's nothing that time will do for me. It's nothing that I can do for myself. But my faith has to be in the fact that when I'm going to the post, that he is the one that's doing the washing. There's nothing that I have to do. It's him appropriating this expiation, which is a part of what we understand to be propitiation, expiating and placating forces. The placating force goes to God and takes away all of his anger. The expiating force takes away all of our guilt, and it delivers us. But it happens when he said, "If I wash thee not." So what I'm saying is that he will appropriate the results. He'll basically, what it's saying is, he'll appropriate the results of the cross, the work of the cross, so Amen. That we can come and be regarded by God as pure and sinless. It's not my own self-sanctification that I stay away from things that I ought not do. That does not wash me. He said, "If I wash thee not," he has to. He has to be the one. So when we're going to the post of his doors, we have to allow his expiating, his appropriating of being expiated. He has to appropriate it. In the note, it says, Jesus shows us here the level. First of all, this is amazing to me. It says, Jesus shows us here the level of purity and righteousness he was truly on. The Bible says he laid aside his garments. And I think this is apropos for what he's doing. He's showing them, he lays aside his garments and he puts a towel on. Then he proceeds to use the towel that he girded himself with to dry their feet. I remember I told a colleague of mine years ago that Jesus actually did this in the nude. He was naked. He bared himself naked. He laid aside his garments and he put a towel on. And then after he was washing their feet, he uses the same towel that he girded himself with to dry them. So he had the mindset, what's revealed here is he had the mindset that was on Adam and Eve in the garden. The only thing that Jesus knew was God. The only thing they knew was God before the fall. This wasn't is the level of cleansing, watch this now, that he brings us to. Now I understand why he told Peter that. He said, if I wash thee not, you'll never come to the level that I'm on if you try to do it yourself. There's not many of us that have the confidence that, and I'm not trying to challenge anybody, please. That's not what I'm being said here. But there's a major, major, major foreshadow when Jesus took off his clothing and laid them aside. The foreshadow was, this is my mindset. This is how clean I am. This is the way that God created us in the beginning, that they didn't know that they were naked in the garden. Jesus had full assurance to his level of cleansing and the purity that he had. And he said, if I cleanse thee not, amen?
Amen.
He was bringing them to a level that in his washing us, it brings us to that appropriate, that proper level, to where now God is fully glorified, that we don't know. We walk as though we are naked. We walk unashamed, praise God, is what it's being said. Jesus had no shame that he could lay aside his garments. So this was and is the level of cleansing that he brings us to. He erases all sin consciousness when he washes. The thing we need to understand, everybody, and have faith in, is the Lord is at the gate, praise God. That when we're going there and we need to have our faith, we need to allow the Father to pour this in and really impart this today. That when I'm going there, he's going to appropriate the expiation that he so afforded me to have when he died on the cross. He's going to appropriate it. He's going to apply it. He's going to erase any shame or any guilt. He's going to put me in a position that I'm honorable before my Father. So he's the one that will appropriate it. And we need to really have faith that as we're moving there, that God is going to, that the Lord is going to absolutely, positively, positively expiate. And he's going to bring deliverance. And he is going to. There's nothing that you have to do. So this is the purpose of meeting him daily. When Paul said, I die, he said, I die daily. So when he finished the work, he opened the door for perpetual expiation. Again, the word expiate means this. It means to extinguish the guilt. It means to atone for. It means to mend or redeem. It means to mend or redeem. This is the place of our redemption. This is the place where we become mended, but at the same time, it's Jesus that is appropriating this expiation. It's him. Yes. Remember, he told Peter, if I wash thee not. After Peter heard that, he said, man, Lord, hey, don't just wash my feet, wash my hands and my head. Wash all of me. So we have a saying, and we think this, and this is sometimes our problem in this particular Holy Ghost note. We have a saying that time heals all wounds. That's not correct at all. That's not correct. Jesus will heal all wounds.
Amen.
Jesus Amen. Will. It's the time. We don't have to rely on time. So the guilt tries to leave us, or the shame will leave us over time. No. That's not the way it works. We don't have faith that time will heal anything. That's not where our faith is. Our faith is in the fact that Jesus will appropriate the expiating force of this covenant. And you have to understand, the reason why I keep using expiate and expiation is because when that is upon you, when guilt has been extinguished, we learned a long time ago, we need to recognize that position that we've just been put in. We're in the covenant position that we are in perfect agreement with God. We're in perfect agreement where God now will endorse any miracle that you need. We don't understand the wealth that we have when he's able to extinguish guilt, when he's able to extinguish the feeling of failure from up off of our lives. But he said again, if I wash thee not, you'll never come into this unless I do it. Don't rely on time. Don't rely on days to pass where now all of a sudden it's not as hard on you. So that's not correct. Time does not heal all wounds. Jesus does. He told Peter, if I wash thee not, you have no part with me. He has to be the one to wash the mistakes and our mishaps. We can't put our faith in time, as I said, to heal and deliver us. Our faith must remain in Christ and be of Christ. Amen. Our faith must remain in Christ and it must be of Christ. The great thing about it here, watch this now. My mom was saying, and I believe Evangelist Benita said it. Elder said, it is finished. And the great thing about it is, it is already finished. Watch this. If he washes me, he brings me into the realm of it is finished. Yeah. There is no time factor here. That if I allow him to do what he said to Peter, if I wash thee not, you'll have no part. But if I do, it means we have part with him. And it means that we move in finished works. It means that we're moving to where now I don't need days to go by to make me feel better. I get it instantaneously at the washing. So there's no time factor. We receive instant healing and we receive instant deliverance. Hallelujah. This is why he says, blessed is the man who heareth me. Now the word hear, this is really powerful. We're going to break this part A down. We've been looking at the gate and the post of his doors, but we're going to break down the beginning of Proverbs 8:34 here. The word heareth means to give consent or to agree. If you're still with me, just say amen.
Amen.
All right, here we go. The word heareth means to give consent or to agree. To give consent or to agree. And I think about what Prophetess Manita often says, that God is a gentleman. He doesn't force anything on us. And in that motion, in going to the post of his doors, what takes place in the hearing is, we've talked about it as being the amen. We agree in what we've heard. And it's in that agreement that we're actually giving the Lord consent to expiate. Where when we agree, it gives him a consent. Oh, glory be to God. That's why it says you've got to hear. Blessed is the man that heareth me. As you're hearing even right now, and some of you are amening what you're hearing, you're giving consent for him to go ahead and expiate. Anytime you amen a rhema word, it gives God consent. It gives the Lord, rather, consent to expiate. It gives him consent to wash away any shame or any guilt. It gives him consent to bring deliverance. You're giving him consent. That's why he said, blessed is the man that heareth me. Blessed is the man, it says shortly after, for whoso findeth me findeth life and obtains favor of the Lord. Why? Because you've given consent in your hearing. And that's what takes place. So you're blessed when you agree with what you hear from him. The blessing is an extinguishing of your guilt and deliverance from your mistakes. It's an absolute blessing right there. You're blessed when you give Christ the consent to allow the work of the cross to flow in you. You're blessed right there. As you say amen to any rhema, I'm telling you right now, you're giving him consent. You're giving him consent. And in that consent, that is the place of washing. And if we remember the picture that we just saw in reference to how Jesus did it, he did it with the fullness and the purity of mind. He was so pure in that moment, always was, and not just in that moment, but always was and always will be. He was absolutely pure to them where he could lay aside his garments and show them the level of purity that he wanted to bring unto them if he did the washing, if he did it. Can you imagine living that type of life to where you could absolutely have no shame, no guilt, nothing, only consciousness that you have is God. The only thing you know is God. That's the way he intended it when he created Adam and Eve in the garden, that all they would know was him. The only time they knew they were naked was when they took on another doctrine, when they took on the lie of the enemy. Then they found out and they were ashamed that they were naked. Well, Jesus is saying, I want to wash you guys to the point where you have no shame in your life, that you'll have no shame in anything going on. And that's what he's trying to do for us with his expiating power. So that's what it means for Jesus to wash you. That's what it means for him. It brings deliverance. He brings deliverance. And it's how true deliverance not just comes, but it remains there. It's a consistent, perpetual expiation that's over your life. And in that, God wants your eyes to open to the fact that you are in right position. You're like the two cherubims on top of the ark. One's expiating and one's placating. They're facing each other. Their wings are overlapping. That is God and man. Where God and man, as he's saying here, we're in perfect agreement. We're in alignment. So power can flow in and through your life. But if Christ doesn't do the washing, if you don't let Jesus do the delivery, if you don't allow him to do what he's been ordained to do, you'll have no part with him. John 15:3 says this, and this is one of my favorite verses of scripture. It says, now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. The word clean means this, free from corrupt desire. Listen to this. This is what happens when Jesus washes you. You may escape the guilt from it, right? You may get rid of the guilt. You may get rid of the shame over a little bit of time. You may kind of, they might kind of pass away there. But when Jesus cleans you, it means you're free from the corrupt desire. Look at that. It means free from sin and guilt. It means free, listen to this, free from every admixture of what is false. I love that. You're free from every admixture of what is false. Jesus doesn't just cleanse your guilt. He takes away what made you guilty. He removes it completely. That's talking about removing burdens and destroying yokes of bondage. That's what he does when he washes. That's why he told Peter, listen, Peter, if I don't do it, you won't have part with me. Because those that have part with me, they're free from the corrupt desire itself. They're free from it. Like I said, you may escape the guilt after a day or two, maybe three. But I'm telling you right now, if you're going to be free from the desire, it's going to be because Jesus washed you. It says here, you're free from every admixture of what is false. It says you become blameless. You become innocent. I love this last one. Unstained with the guilt of anything.
Amen.
That's a whole nother level of cleansing. And this is what happens. Blessed is the man that heareth me. Jesus said, you are now clean through the word. There it is. It matches Proverbs 8:34 and A. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Blessed is the man that heareth me.
Amen.
So it's in that hearing there, guys, at the post. That's where so much is going. That's where it all is going down. That we're becoming free from the corrupt desire. We're becoming free from the sin itself. And free from every admixture of what is false. And I really like that. Free from every admixture of what is false. That means that there's true and false. There's true and lie mixed together. And you become free from the truth and the lie being mixed. There's no admixture. Everything is straight up and down like 6 o'clock. True. Everything is. So now, the result of our consent here is what we'll talk about for a minute. There's a result that comes to play, and it's pretty obvious what it is. I've been preaching about it since we started. The 1 John 2, verses 1 and 2, it says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. But watch this. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation. That's where you're getting your expiation. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate. When we consent, he becomes advocate to us. He becomes a consoler. And this is why you get such a release from the mistakes that you make. And God wants you to have faith in this, and he's imparting faith in this. He wants you to run. Listen to me, child of God. I think the week that we've had, I think I heard the testimony from Sister Erica and from Javon. I heard what they said, And then Wanda tapped in and said, amen. And I think we all were saying amen that were on the line on Thursday, amen. That there has been a strangeness going on. And the Lord wants us to get out of any type of effort. He doesn't want us trying this because we're hearing it and we want to achieve it so bad. We want to walk in it so bad that self-effort tries to creep in and then grace gets frustrated. If grace gets frustrated, we've learned that grace takes us to faith. So now faith, and there's a frustration there. Mm. And God doesn't want that. He wants us to continue to use our advocate. As we say amen to the rhema, the advocate is employed. Amen. And what happens is he becomes a consoler. And this is why expiation takes place. This is why there's an extinguishing of anything, guilt and shame. It's an extinguishing of doubt and all of that stuff. Everything gets extinguished that's outside of the realm of faith. He becomes advocate in our consent. And advocate means consoler. It means comforter. It means counsel for defense. So we employ the consoler. We employ the comforter. And we employ the counsel for the defense. But I take it one step deeper here so we can understand what takes place here. What happens is we employ Jesus as our counsel for defense, because the word advocate also means intercessor. And so we employ him there in that consent. He doesn't just become counsel for your defense, people, but he also wins the case. He wins the case every single time because he reminds the Father of what he did for us. He reminds him sitting right next to him. No. You can't do that to Todd. I've already died for that. No, you can't do that to Allison or Elder Donna. No, I've already died for that. No. You've got to give them their breakthrough. I've already died for that. And so now he counsels for defense, but he also wins the case. Hence, that's why he becomes comforter. He comforts you in the fact that you're alleviated from it. It's extinguished. You become comfortable with the comforter. He consoles you while he's taking it to court. He's keeping you in a place where you know it's going to be all right. But then comforter kicks in, and then you know things have changed. You know that you're in the right position. You become expiated because he comforts you into expiation. That's the release, because he just won the case for you. He just got you out of the jam. You're out of trouble. You're innocent, praise God.
Bless God.
That's what it means for Jesus to wash us. That's what it means when he does it. Heaven activates all over again for you. Truth told, he doesn't just become our counsel in the note for our defense. He wins the case every time. This is why I told you just a moment ago, he's able to comfort us and console us on the way, because he knows he's going to win. Because by the time he is done, we are found completely innocent. We're found innocent. Now, I want to show you this end result here when Jesus does the washing. When he does the washing, there's a place. And I love when God gives me insights to dimensions that we really ought to walk in, like we're seated in heavenly places. I love those dimensions when he opens them up and gives, it pours faith into the fact of how victorious we really already are. When Amen. Jesus does the washing. And this scripture has been coming up in my spirit all week long. And I love this scripture as well. And this subtitle is, what happens when he does the washing? And what it truly means to have part with him. We look at the scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 24 through 28. Oh, thank you, Master. I give you glory. I give you glory for your word. I give you glory for your word. I give you glory for your word. Elevate us, Lord. Elevate us. Elevate us into this place. Oh, God, elevate us, please. It says in verse 24, it says, then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he hath put all things under his feet. When you hear that, it's talking about the Father has put all things under the feet of Jesus. All things. But when he saith all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, talking about the Father, which did put all things under him. And when all things shall be subdued unto him, then shall the Son also himself be subject unto him that put all things under him, that God may be God all in all. All things are under the feet of Christ. Everything. Everything is under his feet. And this is the level after he does the washing. This is the level that we come into. All things, this is why he needs to do the washing, because he's the only one that can bring us to his level. He's the only one that can. So by the time he washes, and by the time he cleanses, we end up in that level. We end up in the same realm as he's in. Amen. And it says here, according to 1 Corinthians, it says here, for he hath put all things under his feet. So now, all things being under his feet, so therefore all things are under our feet as well.
Amen.
This is why he must do the washing. Watch this. So we can experience salvation and success on his level. His level is all things being under his feet.
Yes.
I find it amazing that he was trying to wash the disciples' feet, because he knew one day he would be, all things would be under his feet, and he's washing their feet. Yes, I know it was their custom to do that, but don't you know it was the custom to wash the feet when you first enter into the house? Mm-hmm. Jesus wasn't using it as a custom here, people. It's in the Jewish custom back then, it was when you entered in, your feet got washed. Jesus laid down his garments after dinner to wash their feet. He was letting them know. He told Peter, he said, what I'm doing, you don't know, but you will know. In other words, you're going to know that all things are under your feet, that I've cleansed you to the point, Peter, that all things are under your feet. Everything is under your feet. You're going to know the power and authority you have over death, hell, and the grave, just like I do. You're going to understand, Peter, what I do now, you don't know, but you will know. Why? Because I'm going to expiate your mind to the point that you know that I'm on your life, I'm in your life, that it is my life living through you. I'm going to wake you up to the same level that I'm walking on. And I find it amazing. This blows my mind that the Father put everything in the hands of Jesus. Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. He's Lord to the glory. So the Father put all power, all authority. And Jesus is saying, if I wash you, I'll put that same power, that same authority on your life. You'll walk as I walk. 1 John 4:17 says it like this. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, so are we in this world, confirming to you that all things are under your feet. If Jesus does the washing, everything you battle with will be under your feet. It'll no longer be a stress or a strain in any way to your life. But when you come to the post of his doors, when you reach the gate, you're going there to be cleansed of him. Paul said, I do it daily. And the Lord wants us to see, the Father wants us to see the type of power and authority that Jesus really holds. And over the next few messages, we're going to dig into the power and authority that he walks in, because it's going to be you walking in that same power. It's going to be you walking in that same authority. It's happening to us now, but the Father does not want self-effort coming in on this. He doesn't want you trying to perform the process of going to the post of his doors. He wants you moving by grace, by the influence that he's placed on the inside of you. And then in that same influence, he wants you to hear the rhema and give consent, just to say, yes, Lord, and amen. I give that consent over to you. Expiate me even the more. Let that propitiating force, that wonderful covenant be upon me. And keep my eyes open that when I'm expiated, I'm now moving as you are. All things are under my feet. These challenges are under my feet. Financial difficulties will be under your feet completely. Because he says here in verse 27, for he hath put all things under his feet. Things are under his feet. There's not anything left standing that is not under his feet. Jesus already defeated death, believe it or not, when he died and rose again. So therefore, everything is under his feet completely. Death will be swallowed up entirely, but he's already the champion over death. So he can beat that too. It's already under his feet. There's nothing that you're facing that isn't already under his feet. So if it's under his feet, and he does the washing and brings you to his level, you better believe it's under your feet too.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
It's under your feet. There's no weapon formed against you that can prosper. There's nothing that's going to take you out. There's nothing that's going to win over you. It's already under your feet. He told Peter, after Peter said, no, Lord, to wash my hands and my feet too. He said, no, Peter. He said, them that are cleansed don't need to be cleansed. He said, you are already cleansed, Peter. You're already cleansed. Why would he tell Peter he's already cleansed? I'll tell you why. Because when he told Peter, if I don't do this, you have no part with me. Peter then consented. Look at that now. He consented to the point. He said, hey, not just my feet, do my hands and my head. Jesus said, and when he heard that consent, he said, you're already clean. I hope you grab that. You're already clean. When you say yes and you agree, you're already clean. Peter did it right then and there. Jesus's analogy went from the natural to the spirit with Peter, because Peter gave him consent and understood what he meant. He kicked into an understanding. And the only thing he wanted to know is that he had part. He didn't know the totality, but he wanted to know, I have part with you, Lord. Yes, you wash me. And so the Lord is saying to us today, if I wash thee not, you don't have any part with me. I know you want to serve me, but I have to be the one. I know you desire to be with me. I know you want to become a pillar in the temple of our Father, but I have to be the one. I have to wash you. I've got to cleanse you. Let me do what I have to do. He was the Lord of all glory, and he laid aside his garments. He put them aside. He girded himself with a towel. All humility, all purity. I was in the moment, I'm telling you. I was in the moment watching Jesus. There was nothing else that he could give but his garments to show that he was the righteousness of God. He laid it all down before them. And that man that was raising the dead, stopping category 5 storms, feeding multitudes with just a couple fish and a few loaves of bread, doing all these great exploits, that great man laid aside his garments, because what he did was reveal the true inner part of who he was and how cleansed he was with his Father. And he's saying that when I wash you, I bring you to my level. I bring you to the same level of righteousness that I'm on. And if I do that, I'm telling you now, I'll put all things under your feet. But let the power of expiation, let be mindful of it. Be mindful of the fact that I've washed away your guilt and your shame. Be mindful of it. Because then you can walk by faith with all things under your feet. You can move by faith. You can speak to mountains, and you can command sycamore trees to be plucked up by the root and be planted in the sea. Nothing shall be impossible to you. But let me do the washing. Let me cleanse. And I feel this for somebody on the line. Pressure has been released from you. You don't have to try to wash and cleanse yourself. You don't have to try to walk uprightly before your God. You don't have to. He will do it. Because if he puts that towel on you, if he puts that wonderful, wonderful, wonderful refiner's fire, if he washes you with the fuller soap that says when he cleans you, you're free from the corrupt desire. You're free from every admixture of what is false. You're blameless, you're innocent. And then as a result, all things are under your feet. You're blessed of the Lord because of it. So as you're experiencing this extinguishing, as you're experiencing this expiation, as you're experiencing it, there's no pressure for you. Mm-mm. There's none. You don't have to deliver yourself from destruction. You're already delivered. So when he does it, we will experience what it really means to be a part of him. And that's what you're experiencing right now. Right now, you are a part of him. Because he's able also to save you to the uttermost. It says in Hebrews 7:25. He's able to save you to the uttermost. And that's what he does. And that's what he's doing even now. It's under your feet. Whatever problem that was ailing you, whatever your challenge might have been, right this very moment, praise his holy name, it is under your feet. Now, by faith, take now the extinguishing of every admixture. Receive it by faith that not only has he removed any shame or guilt or any type of doubt or anything that's outside of faith, but now also receive the fact that he's extinguished admixture from your life. Receive the fact that he's already called you blameless and already called you innocent, because that's what you are. He said to Peter, he said, I don't need to clean you. Those that are cleansed don't need to be washed. Oh. You've been washed already. You've been washed. And anybody saying amen to this message has given their consent. And so you are blessed of the Lord.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
You're blessed of the Lord. If you're saying amen to this message, you have given consent for Jesus to wash. And now the Lord has given you a revelation, the Father saying, hey, as he is, so are you in this world. I look at you the same as I looked at him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. And Father, we give you praise. Father, we give you honor. Father, we give you glory. Father, we thank you. We thank you for placing all things under our feet. We thank you for the ease of it coming upon us even now. We thank you, Jesus, for the ease of it moving now. We give you praise, Lord. We give you praise, Lord God. We give you praise right here, right now, for removing every burden and destroying every yoke of bondage because of you washing us. We thank you, Lord God, for lifting up the hardship of us trying to do it ourselves. Every now and then we fall into that ensnarement. Every now and then, Father, we get trapped behind it because we want to perform. We're excited to perform. I think that's what it comes from. We just get excited and we want to walk in it so badly that we try to take matters somehow into our own hands, even with the Rhema word. But Lord, thank you that we can move at your pace and at your ease here. And that you, Lord God, have laid aside your garments for us. You, Lord Jesus, girded yourself with a towel and you chose to wash us just as you chose to wash them, that we might have part with you. And Lord, I'm grateful today. How many times have you stood there? How many times have you stood there to wash me again? How many times over have you washed me? Every time I've needed washing, you've done it. Oh, Master, you're the best, and I mean it. You're the best. How many times have you gone to court for us? How many times have you been our defense? How many times over? And I give you praise. You've never stopped being our defense. You've never given up on us. Now let the full power of your counsel come. The full power of it. We pray in the name of Jesus. And we give you praise, Lord. We give you praise. If you can lift your hands for a minute, we give you praise, Jesus. We give you praise, Master. Oh, God, we give you praise. Thank you, Father, for imparting faith. Thank you, Father, for imparting faith. Faith in who our Jesus really is. Faith in what our Jesus can really do. Now you get rid of everything that's outside of faith. Get rid of it. You said in your word, everything that is not of faith is sin, and we don't want any part of it. Get rid of it, Master. Wash us. We give you consent. Wash us, Lord. Hey, Jesus. Hallelujah, Master. Hallelujah. Elder Donna says amen and amen. Bless you, God. Elder Allison says, wash us, Lord. No mixture. Elder Donna says, bless God. Blanche gives an amen. Erica gives an amen. Curtis gives an amen, Lord. Nita says amen and amen. Listen to all these amens. Javon says amen. Thank you, Jesus. Elder Donna says amen and amen again. All the amens are giving consent. And if you didn't write it, it doesn't matter. I know you must have said it right where you are. That you're giving him consent. And let me tell you, he's going to wash. Every amen is another stroke of his washing. It's another. And you're giving him consent to clean you, to get rid of any admixture, to release you from any shame, any guilt, to make you blameless and innocent. And he will, and he is washing. He's still girded. He's still ready. The basin's still full of water. Only change is that the basin became this rhema, and it's full of water. He's cleansing us all, putting us in the position, the right position. So we're accepted of God. We're accepted. And he's put all things under our feet. Take a moment now under this expiation, under this powerful expiation. Take a moment and begin to speak, because we understand that when we hear, we also speak. And the title of today's message is Blessed is the Man That Heareth Me. If you heard to the point where you've been expiated, to where you don't have shame and guilt, which is a wonderful thing. Take a moment now and put the word on some things that you want to see under your feet. Take a moment to ask God to manifest the fact that it's already under your feet now. Tell him you want manifestation on it. You know what his word has taught you. Now you want to see the manifestation. For now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So take that now faith and let's bring forth evidence. Manifestation, Father, of everything. Manifestation of all the needs on this line. Bring forth manifestation, Lord Jesus. Of the fact that it's under our feet. manifested, Lord God. If there be any physical ailments, manifest healing. Jesus, manifest healing of all kinds. If there be any spiritual deficit and a lack of salvation in an area, we pray, Lord God, manifest it. Let it be made manifest, Lord God. Let the breakthrough commence. If there be, Lord Jesus, any financial deficits, we pray that you manifest all provisions. Open the door. Open the doors. Manifest our facility. Facilitate us again, Lord, as we're watching and believing that this coronavirus is leaving and leaving quickly. Manifest, Lord God, our house that we will worship you in and we will come together. Open my eyes to see. Open my eyes to see the building, or open our eyes to see. I pray and manifest, Lord Jesus. Debt freedom going in. Complete the task. It's under our feet. Let every need be easily met. Easily met, Jesus. Yes. Everyone that agreed, just say amen and give them consent.
Amen.
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 Amen, Jesus.